Technically, this is our fourth Fogcast,
I
and
know.
I mean, I've been having just honestly so much fun with it, which just, of course, being getting to hang out with you and talk about what we like to talk about.
I know.
And it's been fun, but the comments that we've been getting, I've been a little thrown off or a little shocked by, honestly.
A little concerning.
I mean, number one, it's like, when we're talking about, like, our faith and our beliefs, I feel like that's something that's our personal beliefs, our personal faith and our stories. And it's like the people that are making, like, the rude comments and things like that, it's like, of course, they're trying to say we're preaching or something, which we're not preachers. We're not
no,
preaching.
No, never would think
no,
that we would
I
be
don't
able
even
to do
want
that.
To be held to that accountability,
yes,
number one.
Yes.
And, but we're just, this is our own personal, like our life, how we feel about things and just our personal experiences with God and our faith and stuff. So for the, to be kind of attacked and stuff like that
on our belief system and stuff, it's a little weird. I don't want to stop doing it.
No. I don't want to stop doing it because I think you're always going to have that regardless of what you do. It was a little shocking.
It's different because, I mean, first of all, we're talking about lots of different things. This is just our life. And so, yes, God comes up and our faith comes up because that's how we live our life. I mean, it's just a normal conversation. It's very rare that you and I are going to have a lengthy conversation and our faith and our belief system isn't going to come up.
So true.
So it's just normal, but we're never preaching. We're never telling other people that this is how they should be or believe or live. But it was very weird, especially to read comments just that are sort of hateful towards our belief or implying that there's something wrong with us believing in the things that we believe in. And we talk about, because we talk about spiritual warfare. Mm-hmm. It's something that we both believe in. And I think it's been a long held belief. Really, this is the first time in the history of humans that you're really seeing a large group of people that don't have any belief in the spiritual. And we do have a large group like that now, but that's never been common before in history. And it doesn't matter what religion you're talking about. It doesn't matter what country, nationality you're talking about. This is the first time that that's ever been like that. So I think it's odd that it would be such a strange thing. I mean, I just think it's odd.
Well, even like, yes, like you're saying, all religions, all things, like even people that believe in like different gods or different things like that, it's always comes back to like spirituality in the past.
Yeah.
I mean, even the Vikings had stuff like that.
Of course.
Like, it's so for them to like attack us on that is strange because it's like, okay, well, we are spiritual beings, or I believe so.
Yeah.
I mean, you believe so. And I know a lot of people do believe. And just to attack on like the going to the side of like the denomic side, like talking about stuff like that, it's like, well, even if you believe in one, you have to believe in the other. Like, if you believe in God, then you have to believe there's a devil. If you believe in the devil, you have to believe there's a God.
Yes, if you believe there's an all good and loving God, and yet we do live on a very flawed earth, and we're very flawed people, then you really do have to see that there are two sides to that.
Yes.
So if there's going to be the all good and the all love, there is a darkness. If light exists, darkness exists. And so that's all we've ever believed in. And we're not telling anyone else to believe that. They don't have to.
No.
And of course there were other comments that were a little bit more brutal, a little bit more kind of along the lines of you're a lady, get in the kitchen and make a sandwich kind of comment instead of talking about God, which, as far as I know, women can talk about God.
I know. I thought that was so strange, too, because I have to say, out of all the comments we've gotten, all the negative comments have been from men.
Yes.
And
what is that about?
I find that so strange in a way, because I'm like, well, you're taking the time to watch a woman's channel, really.
Yes.
You're taking the time to comment.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's so odd. I mean, I know, like, of course, back in the day, people did. They did not want women preachers. They did not want women being the headship. They did not want women talking about God. But I mean, we're number one, we're not preachers, and we're not
absolutely to, not. We talk about all kinds of things.
Yes.
Our lives, manifestation, yes. positive thinking, all kinds of things.
Just basically the lives that we follow and what we think would, you know, it's basically comes down to how I make it in this life. Like yes. how you make it in this life. If I didn't have Jesus in my life, I would have no hope. I would have yeah. no hope for the future. That's what keeps me going. That's what yes. keeps me going another day. When I'm going through hard times, and yes, I do want to practice like the manifestation. And we talked about that, like, you know, number one, just like the law of attraction.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've been really getting into that lately and just thinking I learned about the law of assumption.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, and I know we talked about it. You're mm-hmm. like, yeah, me too. And I'm like, oh, that's yeah. so cool. Cause it's like, okay, now that I know what I want, I got to put it out there and I got to assume I already have it.
Yes.
And, but for me, it all goes back to, and other people can, they can do it like through The Secret or whatever you laws you want to follow
mm-hmm.
through the universe. But for me, it all goes back to what the Bible says when Jesus says, yes. speak to the mountain, believe it's already been moved, and it'll mm-hmm. be gone.
If you have faith, even the size of a mustard seed. And that's the thing, that we've seen the law of attraction work, but we relate it back to the beliefs that we have, our ingrained faith in God,
mm-hmm.
and because He does tell us these things. So how can we not talk about our positive thinking? How can we not talk yes. about what helps us cope? Because that's essentially, I think it's hard right now. I think women are under a lot of pressure to look a certain way,
yes.
act a certain way. I think a lot of us are dealing with women's guilt, you know, whether it's mom guilt
mm-hmm.
or
definitely.
Just we don't think we're good enough. We don't think we are doing enough. And so that's more what we created this channel about, was yes. just more of trying to support each other the way that we do as best friends and as sister-in-laws, but also just to kind of maybe if we could possibly help other people and have a community of women that believe that, and we can kind of connect with each other. I just, we thought that would be a great thing to get started.
Mm-hmm. And I do think it's sad that it is mainly men, you know, being the negative, because
yeah.
I mean, it's like, why can't we talk about God?
Yeah,
I mean, Jesus never said that women cannot talk about God.
Well, that's the strangest part of it is, you know, Jesus had women that helped support him.
Mm-hmm.
They followed him. Women were the first ones to see him after yes. he rose. And he said, go tell the others about this. Go tell the others the good news. So how can you say that women aren't supposed to spread the good news when Jesus directly told the women first
yes.
to spread the good news? So that seems very odd to me.
Mm-hmm.
And it brings it back to this kind of thing where I'm a very spiritual person and my life is based around Christ. But I do have a difficult time with religion, established religion. It's very hard for me
mm-hmm.
because I do see little things there that I think are built around the patriarchy.
Yes.
And are built to kind of hush women down.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll see it. I mean, whether it's the really strict Mormon religion.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not talking about necessarily the Latter-day Saints and the newer, you know, I'm talking about more along the ones where they're marrying multiple women, they're practicing polygamy, those early years of the Mormon religion. But you can really see what's happening there. They're, you know, marrying multiple women. You'll see, I've seen so many like news stories and stuff of these women that kind of have to be in their homes raising children and even very young ages marrying them. These really old men and stuff that have so many wives already. And then of course we see these women that are going through a lot in other countries
yeah.
and they can't show their faces in public and yes. they can't drive. They can't leave their home without a male relative.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at things like this, it's hard for me not to see that religion is being used as a weapon towards women.
Oh yeah. I think like you said, we are very spiritual. We believe in Jesus, but I do think that religion is man-made. Jesus never said to follow this one religion.
Yes.
And he said, follow me.
Yeah.
And I think that's very true. I think they manipulated it. I think they've done a lot of things with the Bible. I think they've taken things out, like we've talked about before. I think that they use it to their narrative to control. I mean, we've seen it in the Catholic Church way back.
Oh, yeah.
In Europe, like when they try to control it to begin with. And it's not, you know, that was everybody, but it's definitely women as well.
Yes, they put the Bible only in Latin so that the regular person couldn't read it. And you could be put to death for just interpreting the Bible into English or into a language where other people can read it. And that's to take away the good news. That's not spreading it.
Yes.
That's, you want to maintain control of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always, anytime you've got a situation where you're gaining, I think, control and financial support and you're suppressing women, there's an issue there. And you see this when you remove women from organizations, there is a tendency for them to become a little more corrupt. When you're removing women from the church, you do see a lot of abuse of children.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're removing women from anything, you see these kind of crazy wars that break out where there's just, you know, women can't be seen walking down the road, but people with weapons are very common.
Yes.
And so I think it's really, we have to be very careful as we're kind of treading into that. And we have to remember that Jesus changed a lot of the former laws. He said, I make all things new.
Mm-hmm.
I have fulfilled the laws.
Yep.
And so there are times where, you know, when they asked him about having multiple wives, he specifically said, no,
mm-hmm.
you can only have one wife.
Yeah.
And he said, God gave into your hearts, your evil or your hard hearts at that time, but that was never the right way. And that was never the design. And people will talk about, you know, how he maybe has said things that people portray as maybe being submissive to men or being mm-hmm. submissive to their husband. That's not to every man. So it's just, it's kind of difficult to really explain that when somebody has it so deeply ingrained in them,
mm-hmm.
that Jesus was very kind and loving toward women and
he
told men to lay down their lives for their wife.
Yep.
He said that if they even look at another woman, that it's a sin and that they've sinned in their heart. So you just have to really think about that before you pull and cherry pick all of these kinds of things.
Yes, I agree. And it's like, number one, I think that men, I think secure men, number one, don't have a problem with women talking about Jesus.
Yeah.
It's more of like the men that have issues or they're not secure as men.
Mm-hmm.
And I think because a good man is going to treat his wife correctly.
Yeah.
Protect her. And he's going to treat her like the church. Like you said, Jesus
yes.
said, lay down your life, like you mm-hmm. said. So for me, it's just kind of like, I mean, yeah, going back to some of the comments, it's like, you know, we'll just pray for you and you
yes.
know, move forward. Because it's like, I know there's a lot of hurting people. I don't know everybody's story. I don't know everybody's background. Maybe, you know, they have something that we don't know about going on. But it's just kind of like, I never want to put evil or meanness out into the world. So I don't want that ever to come back to me.
Yes.
So it's like if someone's commenting, we're just going to move past it.
And be nice.
Bless them
and yeah.
They're entitled to their opinions. Like
absolutely.
So.
That's the thing. We just want to respect each other's opinions. And you do know that there's a lot going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as far as the polarization, I think, between men and women, I think that that's become more and more common.
Mm-hmm.
And as we are divided, not just on earth between all the nations, but we've become more divided as a country.
Yep.
We've become more divided between religions or thought processes. And I consider being atheist, I consider that kind of like a religion too.
Yep.
And so we see a lot of division, and there is a lot of division between men and women right now,
mm-hmm.
like a lot. And so you have to kind of take everything with a grain of salt. And I do worry about the epidemic of like lonely men right now.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of women that are turning away from marriage. I don't know if you've heard of the like 4B movement.
Yes.
But that's, you know, they're pulling away from wanting to get married, have children. And that's not necessarily something that, you know.
I mean, that's not really how God designed it. But I can see how that could happen just in this society, in this day and age.
Yes. Yes. I think we've lived under male rule. We've lived under a patriarchal society for such a long time that it can be very overwhelming.
It can be. I mean, they say that women have rights, and we're not really going to get into that today, like the women rights stuff, but it's like we really don't have a lot when it really comes down to it. Like, I mean, yes, we can get more jobs, but still to this day, if they've done like the studies, we're not making, the women are not making what the men are making in the same position.
No.
And they may be giving women those positions, but they're not paying them the same.
They're not paying them the same.
We haven't had a woman president, number one.
No.
Which, I mean, I'm not saying there was any good ones that run it, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, we have not.
Women were the last ones to vote out of all men.
Yeah.
For all races.
Yes.
So we don't really have, I mean, you know, they try to say we're for, it's just like everybody, though. We're under something.
Yeah.
So it's, and I think it's a lot of evil. I mean, honestly, I just think it comes down from a lot of evil, control, and things we've talked about that too.
Yes, I think so. And I think it's just something that I can really understand and relate when women are talking about things like that and going through things like that. And we do still have a lot of issues where there's sexism.
Oh, definitely.
Women can be treated certain ways, and we still have this issue with the way that women are projected on platforms, social media, OnlyFans, the way that women are objectified. They're expected to look and act certain ways. Yep. And so we still have a battle ahead of us in order to really be equals. And I think that we are intended to be equals. I don't think that we were ever intended to be below.
No.
And so I think there's still ground to make. But anyway, this is a positive women's channel.
Yes, it is.
And we love to talk about being positive and remaining positive and faithful through life. But we've both had some different little challenges that we've been going through lately. What have you been using to help you?
I would say that kind of like what we hit on earlier, I was really just digging into the law of attraction, in which I do believe in that. And I do try to follow that. But then that law of assumption now. And I would say that's the hardest part.
Yes.
For me, just like, you know, I'll ask for it and I'll put it out there. But then, you know, thinking I already have it, it's kind of hard. Because then I'll look in my reality eyes. And I'll see, oh, it's not there. It's not there. But just doing that and then just kind of like imagining I already have it, it's hard.
It's hard to get that feeling. It's hard to transfer that feeling of the desire for what you want and the actual feeling of what it would feel like to have that outcome. And you'll often hear people say that.
Yes.
But when you're really in that moment and you're just like, how do I make myself really feel the way that this feel.
It's hard.
It's very difficult. And I think it's just, it's one of those things where we were talking about maybe even getting hypnosis to help us out with it.
Yes. I'm down for it. I'm excited. Like, I would love to try something like
that. I've done hypnosis a couple of times. I had a fear of driving and I did hypnosis. It actually really did help me. So there's lots of things I would like to maybe work on something like that, maybe to help that inside kind of ingrained thought process.
I agree. I would like something like, just so like you don't feel like you're never enough, basically. Kind of where you're coming from. Like just to be content sometimes. And it's fine. Like we are doing The Secret. We are going through things and manifesting and stuff. But sometimes it's kind of like that's the next step. It's like after you assume or after the assumption and you imagine you have it, they say just release it and be happy.
Yes.
Release it and be content. That's hard too. Excuse you. But that's hard too.
I'm going to have a coughing fit.
But that's hard. That's kind of like the hard part as well, is just releasing it and being content in the moment. So that's kind of what I'm learning as I'm going along. And like I said, I just love that it all lines up with scripture. Mm-hmm. And people can follow it however they want to follow it, because it really works for everybody.
Yes. And it's all, you know, whenever Jesus is going through, it always is based on faith. So it's like whenever the woman touched his robe and mm-hmm. he said, "I felt the energy leave me." You have to think about that. Like, that was what she felt in her mind she needed to do. So she said, "If I could just touch his robe, then I will be healed." Mm-hmm. And that's what happened. And then, of course, you have the situation where he didn't even have to visit somebody to make them well. And it really is your faith that heals you. And so even like distance healing, I don't know if you've ever, like, we did Reiki together once. Mm-hmm. What did you think of that?
I thought it was pretty cool.
I know a lot of people do the Reiki through distance healing since they're saying that it's energy healing. Mm-hmm. I thought about doing that. But honestly, though, what were your thoughts?
I really thought it was good. I mean, it kind of puts you in like a zone.
Yes.
Which I really, I mean, it felt like really at peace and mm-hmm. a good thing, to where it was easier to kind of release mm-hmm. and let it go. So for me, I mean, I thought it was pretty beneficial.
I really liked it. I would like to do it again. I do remember that they did the little gong bell mm-hmm. at the beginning, though, and you...
Oh, yes. Because the first time we did it, I didn't know what to expect.
Yes.
So it was kind of like we're laying there, but we're kind of separated. And then, you know, I could hear what was going on with you. They were kind of at the same time. And then when she hit the gong, like, it took everything in my body, like, everything in my fiber not to bust out laughing.
I don't think you knew it all went to.
Because I was thinking of you laying over there.
I was in the zone.
So you were in the zone. It took me a while. But yes. Sometimes I think it's more for me if, like, I'm in an uncomfortable situation, or if I don't know what I'm expecting, I just laugh, or, you know, I can't help but have that nervous, like, laugh and stuff. So I think that's kind of what was going on.
The only time, I was very in the zone, except the one thing was that my stomach was growling. It was very quiet. And it's like, but that happens to me with massages too. If I've ever gotten a massage, it's like I'll hear my stomach growling and I'm just like, no, I don't know.
Sometimes I hear their stomach growling.
Yes, like, yes.
That's okay.
Well, what do you think about Reiki because I thought about going to the classes. I would love to learn to do that. But what do you think about that as far as, do you think that that's okay biblically? Because I have heard people say that they don't think it's good or they don't think it's right. I disagree. But what do you think?
I don't really see anything in scripture, because, like, you know, like I said, we don't really follow a religion.
Yeah,
I mean, we more try to follow, like, the principles and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I just didn't see any, I don't see anything in the scripture that says it's negative. I mean, it's basically just energy.
It's supposed to be energy healing.
I do believe in the healing sounds. I actually downloaded this app and I've been listening to, like, mm-hmm. talks about healing, like, inner wounds. It talks about, like, your tension and stress. And I think it feels good. I mean, I really believe it works.
I wonder if there's more of, like, a conspiracy toward preventing people from the more natural methods of
helping. I definitely think it's a conspiracy, because they don't want us to be able to heal ourselves. They don't want us to be able to get well. The pharmaceutical companies, the government, everyone wants to rely on, they want us to rely on them. Mm-hmm. They want us to get on drugs. The first thing you do, start taking this medicine. The doctor doesn't tell you, you know, to do anything else that's actually going to help you.
Right.
They go to school and they study, but they are sold on the pharmaceutical companies. Yeah. Who pays for everything.
Yeah, they come out and they take them out to eat.
And they give them medicine. Yes. And they say, give this to your patient. That's what the pharmaceutical mm-hmm. reps do.
Yeah.
They drop it off. They say, give these samples. This is what we want you to do. That's how they really make most of their money now.
Exactly. And there's so, so much money in it.
Yes.
There's so much money in sick people. So why would you want them well?
They don't.
Why would you want them going to a local kind of person for. But anyway, going back to that though, I would love to even take the classes for energy healing, because I started to think about it.
Super cool.
Reading through when Jesus said that to the woman, he said, "I felt the energy leave me." Mm-hmm. And that made me, it kind of like popped in my head and made me think of that. Like, we're really, it's when he's talking about our faith, a lot of times I think he's talking about our energy. That faith produces energy. And I think that's kind of like when we're talking about the law of attraction and the law of assumption, that faith, that energy is what makes it happen, because we're putting the energy forward into it.
It really does make sense when you're talking about it like that, because we are nothing but energy. That's what we are.
Yeah, we're just basically just these vibrating little energetic organisms. So it makes a lot more sense that would be the preferential treatment.
I mean, and it makes sense, because everybody watching this, everybody knows, like, there's been times when you walk into the room or you're in a situation and you thought, oh, I feel a weird vibe.
Yes.
Or, oh, something was off, or this person's off. You pick up on people's energies, not only like your spouses. I mean, your significant other, you've been with for years and you know, but your children, like even strangers, you can tell someone's energy right away.
Absolutely.
And sometimes even if it's a fake energy.
Yes.
You can read it. And it's like, don't ever doubt your gut. Like, go with your gut. Go with your energy.
With that. Whatever your first instinct is. I've lived to really say this. My first instinct is almost always correct.
Yeah.
Anytime I end up kind of being like, oh, no, maybe it's okay. No, first instinct was the correct one.
Well, I mean, and that's actually scientifically proven, because they've done like tests where like children take tests or even adults are in college, and it's like they always tell you go with your first instinct of the answer, because people are like, oh, I think that's wrong, I'll erase it and take it off, and they messed up. They should have stuck with their first instinct.
It's
and
so
that
true.
Is just that's scientific evidence.
Yes. And I think, you know, just kind of going off of this too, whenever you go into a room and just even somebody that you're not even directly talking to, you can feel the energy. You can feel that something is off in that vibe.
Totally.
You know, and we've had this happen before where we've walked out of a place before and we've both been like, was something off in there?
Yes.
Like,
yes. We didn't say anything to each other while we were in there. But as soon as we walked out, like, something was weird going on. Like, that's what I was thinking. Something's weird.
Yes.
It's so true. I mean, so we are energy, and I do believe in like the energy of healing. I think that not only are we able to heal ourselves in certain things, I think that we're able to heal each other.
Mm-hmm.
Like when Jesus, or the man that they brought to him, he was actually healed by his friends. It says your faith, you know, their faith has made you well. And I think that sometimes like surrounding yourself with that faith-based circle, and that's why it's always, if you're ever around a real negative person, you start to pick up on those things. You start to really bring you down.
Yeah.
And it's a battle. Like, you don't want that energy at all.
You'll notice it. You'll notice you'll be having a great day, and then you'll get around somebody who's a very negative person, and you are.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They're taking your energy. They're energy vampires. And it hits you, and you're like, ooh, earlier I was fine, but now I just feel like, ugh.
Yes.
It happens, though. I mean, we have to be careful and guard our energy in that way.
Yeah, I think, and you know, in the Bible, it always talks about guard your heart. There's that scripture that says guard your heart. And for me, it's like guarding your heart is in a lot of different things. It just doesn't mean like, oh, from like people.
Yeah.
Like, oh, don't give your heart to a significant other or whoever you're dating. But it means just guard your heart from all things that could cause you harm, like whether it's like music you're listening to, like some music has a certain vibe, and they've done studies on this too. You're listening to certain kinds of music, it has the ability to bring you up, has the ability to bring you down. It can make you depressed.
Yes.
And there are certain movies you can watch that has the same effects, and just certain people you can be around. So for me, it's like guarding your heart. If this doesn't feel right, step away, take a step back. don't get near that energy. Like, just walk away from that energy
yeah.
and focus on a positive energy.
Yes. Like, I love my crime dramas. I love my crime shows. But sometimes I do, I feel like, ooh, I got to take a second back. I just, mm-hmm. I'm not in the mood for this.
Yep.
I can't handle it. Like, I do like to be aware of the world and aware of situations.
Of course.
But we always have to be really, really careful and mindful of mm-hmm. if we're putting too much of something inside of ourselves.
Yes, and I think it's kind of like the news. Like, you don't even really want to watch that either. I mean, of course you want to be informed, but it's such negativity. It's such fear-mongering. Like, it's so, you're so fearful all the time because mm-hmm. everything they're putting out there, even the weather, which the weather has been really, right, like crazy.
Yeah.
But like the weather channels even, it's scary. The regular news channel is scary. It's mm-hmm. like, you know, the world news is scary.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's always putting that out there and it's putting fear, and that's not good for us. That's like one of the number one things is said in the Bible over and over. And I can't remember the exact number of times, but it's like, do not fear.
Yeah.
Well, how are we supposed to not fear if that's all we're eating all day?
Yes.
Is fear, you know, it's being put in front of us and we're just eating it up.
Yes, and it makes you wonder about the deeper levels of who benefits from the fear.
Mm-hmm.
Like, again, if you're full of fear, you're going to have a lot of anxiety. You're going to have a lot of depression.
Oh, yes.
You're going to need a lot of help. You're going to need maybe some medicine, yep. maybe some pharmaceutical help, maybe this, maybe that. We're not meant to have such a large amount of information from all over the world just bombarding us. We really weren't supposed to originally have just that. We had this small community. We knew what was going on with our family, with our village. And now we are bombarded by every bad, negative thing. And so, again, you want to be aware. You want to understand on a deeper level, because I think it can lead to maybe like a spiritual awakening.
Mm-hmm.
You begin to understand more about the world, and the corruption in the world can lead to a cleansing within yourself and an opening up spiritually within yourself, because then you begin to realize what it's meant when Jesus is saying, do not be of the world.
Exactly.
You start to understand it. So there's the good aspect, but then you do have to know when to turn it off.
Mm-hmm.
You have to know when to step away, because it can be overwhelming to your senses.
I totally agree, because I'm the same way. Like, I love like the, you know, the women's, you know, those shows about the murder mysteries and just like those documentaries mm-hmm. and different things. But I did have to take a step back too, because I thought, this is giving me anxiety.
Yes. It's making it really,
I need something light. I just need something light, funny, you know, just something to kind of get my mind off of that kind of stuff.
Because,
I mean, we both suffer with an anxiety we've talked about, and that's the thing. It's like, oh my, what am I doing to myself?
Mm-hmm.
Why am I doing this to make this trigger?
I know. And it does trigger it.
It does. It definitely does.
And you have to be careful too. I think whenever they're putting so much stuff out there, it makes you wonder. There's so many things, like even like they'll talk about serial killers or these kinds of things. A lot of copycats get produced from that sort of thing.
Yes, they sure do.
As soon as something like that happens, it's like people become infected, almost like a virus. And so you have to be careful what it is that we're putting out there. And you have to wonder, again, what is the ulterior motive? Because I think there is one.
I think there is too. And kind of going with that, it's like years ago, you never heard of the school shootings or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
It just was unheard of, really. And it's kind of like now it's just so bad to where, you know, they have, of course, they have to have all these protocols and safety measures, which is good. But it's kind of like one person did it, and then it's like it gives another person mm-hmm. the idea to do it, and then they just get all this like news feed on it, and they're just like, oh, you know, it's like said, the copycat. And I really do think it comes down to that a lot.
Yes. And the more we talk about it and the more energy we give it, and not that we shouldn't give it energy,
mm-hmm.
not that we shouldn't try to solve it, but what I'm saying is more along the lines of that the more energy that we're getting into it, the more that it seems to be feeding this sort of evilness.
Yeah, and that's the law of attraction as well. Perfect example.
So we just, we do have to be careful, and I think turning off the news and maybe even, you know, talking to kids about the safety of things, mm-hmm. but maybe really just being careful and guarding their hearts about mm-hmm. how much they know.
Yes, true. I agree, because the kids now are just growing up too with so much information. If they mm-hmm. have like social media, or, I mean, it's just like when we were kids, it was basically just don't turn on the channel 5 news.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. And you thought it was boring anyway.
There was a couple of news channels. Now it's like 100 news channels. You have all the social media. It's like everywhere you turn. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like, it's so much. You really do have to guard them. You know, I don't even think they need to be on anything like that until they're really adults and mature to handle mm-hmm. stuff like that. Because it's hard for me to handle stuff like that, let alone, you know, children being afraid. And of course, like I said, they do need to be aware and be safe. But it's more about, like I said, protecting the heart and protecting and putting it out there into the world.
I think that you really, I mean, just thinking about my kids, they would come to me, teenagers, and just like, oh, did you hear about this? Did you hear about that? I mean, they would just see a video of it or a clip of it that was cut, you know, so it wasn't like sitting down and watching the boring news.
Yes.
It's just this really rapid clip.
That's how they get them now.
Yeah. And so they're just filled with all of this sort of horrible, horrific scenes and images mm-hmm. and thoughts. And it's just, we really do have to be a little bit more careful. And I mean, of course, you want your kids to know things. Again, you want to have discernment. You mm-hmm. want to have discernment of spirits. You want to be careful about the world that you're in. But there is just sort of everything in moderation.
Mm-hmm. I agree. That's to say, it is in moderation, like just to be aware. And I think the number one thing is just be spiritually aware.
Mm-hmm.
When you're really aware, you will pick up on things that this is not right.
Yeah.
You know, I'm turning this off right now. Or, you know, like going back, like go with your gut.
Yeah.
Just really go with that. And it really is not going to steer you in the wrong direction.
No. Whenever you're listening to your gut and you're listening to that inner voice that's mm-hmm. back there, you're really listening to, I think, God, that piece of the Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit.
And that gift of the Holy Spirit, whenever, you know, they're talking about the gifts, discernment of spirits is one of them.
That's true. Very true.
It's a very good thing to have on your side.
I agree. Now, you were telling me something about, this is just like what you were thinking about, like the Holy Spirit mm-hmm. and things like that. We were talking about
how, in the book of Enoch, where mm-hmm. it talks about Sophia,
mm-hmm.
It references to, Sophia means wisdom in Hebrew.
Okay.
And it references sort of, I would say, almost like an angelic being. It says that Sophia came to the earth mm-hmm. and found nowhere to dwell. And so she went back to her place in heaven. But it references her in the female form.
That's so interesting. And that's what I'm fascinated by the book of Enoch. And I know you've been really diving into it. And that's why I wanted to ask you more about it. Because I think a lot of people don't even know. Some people might not even know it exists, or, you know, mm-hmm. it's not real. But it is. I mean, it's just another form of man trying to keep information away from us.
Yes. And there's just a huge, it opens up a huge hole there, because you really have to reread the Bible in mm-hmm. a different context, and you have to go, wait a second, hold on. So God said that these Nephilim were going to be, their spirits were going to be on the earth with us.
Mm-hmm.
And basically they are the demonic entities. And you have to look at, like, if you look at the King James version of the Bible, which was a very heavily edited kind of version mm-hmm. of the Bible. It changed it. And it said that they were the sons of Cain, instead of using the word Nephilim or giants.
Mm-hmm.
It said that they were the sons of Cain, instead of saying that. So you have to see those little tiny things that are changed that really create an entirely different meaning.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the reason why they changed it was because they said that angels could not mate with humans, because Jesus says that angels should not be given in marriage, right?
Yes.
But the thing is that they weren't supposed to be. That's kind of the point.
Yes, that's the point of it.
So you really just have to kind of have discernment of that too, mm-hmm. as you're going through the text. But going back to the Sophia thing, I just find it so interesting she's a very important part of like Gnosticism. I don't know if you've heard of like the Christian Gnostics or the Jewish Gnostics, mm-hmm. but they really just kind of believe in more of a mystical, like the Bible really just has a lot of analogies, mm-hmm. and it's a very mystical kind of ideas, but Sophia is a part of that. So it's a very interesting thing, and it makes you wonder exactly what her role is.
I'm interested
in what she is. It's one of those things that just,
it gets people talking. Like I said, people can have their opinion, but you know, you were saying, we think it's something, to do with, that whole.
Well, and I wonder about the Trinity, and this is, and I don't want this to be blasphemous at all.
Of course not.
Because people, and I understand, like, you grow up a certain way, mm-hmm. and you feel like, and you're taught, if you question anything about the religion that you grew up in, if you question anything about the scriptures or the Bible that you've been taught to read, you're taught that it's blasphemous. So mm-hmm. you're so afraid to even look at it and just go, hold on. Wait, is there something I'm not catching here? Is this maybe an analogy? Or is there something here that maybe was misinterpreted? Mm-hmm. And I think as I've gotten older, I've become more open-minded to that, mm-hmm. and more seeing that and realizing, like, okay, men can change things. You have different religions for a reason.
Exactly. So it's kind of like, why can't we question these things if it was man that was changing the text and stuff? You know, we have to kind of, think about things. Think outside the box when it comes to stuff like this. How was this taken? Or, mm-hmm. Where did this come from? So
God is unchangeable, but man is not. Man's word is not. And their interpretations are not.
Nope.
You could go get a Bible right now and reinterpret it. Mm-hmm. And lots of religions do that. They do that all the time.
Yep.
So we do have to be very careful, and it's okay. It is not wrong to kind of go and reread things. And going back to what I was saying about the Trinity, and I don't want to sound bad, but just kind of, I've wondered, what is the role of Sophia in that? Mm-hmm. And are those connected? And is there more of a sort of divine feminine to this order? Because in the Bible, we see a husband and wife. We see a picture. And the pictures look so similar on earth as in heaven. Mm-hmm. So, we have the Father, we have the Son, and then we have the Holy Spirit. And there is a part of me that wonders or ponders if there is a feminine sort of spirit. Mm-hmm. And this is, again, a lot of people will talk about the divine feminine now, and we can see that it's been removed, and it used to be very common in most religions, mm-hmm. but we just see that it really has been removed, and you wonder about that.
It's interesting, for sure. It's definitely something for people, I think, just to think about. That's kind of what, we're talking about. We're interested, too. Like, we would love to know a definite answer, but we're kind of just, mowing stuff over, rolling it over in our heads and thinking, okay, well, what does this mean? Or
exactly
stuff like that. So I think there's nothing wrong with having questions or, thinking about things in other ways and just opening your eyes to other things.
That's how I feel. I feel like there's nothing wrong with maybe having a spiritual journey. Mm-hmm. And I think that I've been on one throughout my life, and so have you.
And I don't think it ever stops. Like, you think, oh, is there like a destination? No.
Yeah.
It's for the rest of your life. You're always growing. No matter how old you are, no matter where you've been or what you've done, you're always growing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you got to keep on going and just have an open mind too, and don't judge and just, kind of be there for the other person, like, if you're listening to them and talking about it. Don't just like, no, no, it's this way, you know. We can't be like that.
We really can't, and I think it drives so many people away from God.
It does.
And you look at Jesus, and they're saying, like, why are you eating with these people? Mm-hmm. Why are you with the thieves? Why are you with the tax collectors? And Jesus loved everybody, and yes, he saw a religion, mm-hmm, and he really was this figure that came up against a very established religion, mm-hmm, and he had, yes, a different way of doing things and a different way of handling things and a different, mm-hmm, way of speaking to the people,
yep,
and he was persecuted for that, mm-hmm, and so we just have to really kind of take into account who he was, what he really taught. He changed a lot of things, whether it was changing eye for an eye, and he, mm-hmm, says, no, it's no longer that. And he changed many other things. That's, yeah, just that's a small, true, piece. And, I mean, you look at the time when he healed somebody on the Sabbath, and they were watching him to see if he was going to heal,
yeah,
the, you know, this man or woman's hand on the Sabbath. And he looked at him and said, isn't it good to do good? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, so you... You really have to understand that he didn't abide by all these little rules. Mm-hmm. He questioned things.
That's true.
And he wanted a greater opening and understanding. And very, I think, true, he left us with that.
That's very true. And like going back to like when they were wondering why he was with the sinners or the prostitutes. And he did. He said, well, I'm here because wouldn't a sick person see a physician? Mm-hmm. Like, he didn't come for the well. He didn't come for people that are perfect. He came for those people. He came for us.
Yeah.
And even though those people tried to act like they were holy, you know, holier than thou or whatever, they're not perfect. And that's what he came for.
Exactly. And I think that they felt that they weren't perfect.
Yeah.
They needed him.
Yes.
You know, they felt they were sick and they felt like they needed a doctor. And whereas other people who feel really holy and they're, you know, they have a lot of rules, they feel like they abide by those rules.
Pride.
Yes. And they're full of pride in those rules. Mm-hmm. And those people, they didn't think they needed to take a lot of authority from him, or they didn't think they could learn as much. They're there scolding him and, yes, saying, hey, what are you doing with these people? So you can see that being open-minded and understanding is not a bad thing. Knowing that you are a sinner, knowing that you need help, mm-hmm, knowing that you need Jesus, it's not a bad thing.
No, it's not. It's what you call humanity.
Yeah, and it helps people get through.
Yes, it does. And I think it makes people, you know, sometimes just better people when they can really realize, you know, yes, I need a savior. I'm, yeah, not perfect. I need help. It really humbles you to a place to where it just breaks down all your walls and it brings you to a place of just really accepting God, and then your life changes.
Yeah. And you can feel that change. Mm-hmm. You can feel the comfort of never really being alone.
Yes.
And there's really always something there to rely on. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the beauty of having that.
Yeah.